All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a case, well, it's kind of out there, legally speaking. We're looking at Ladd v. Bowers Trucking, Inc. out of the Utah Court of Appeals. It's a negligence case, sure, but the evidence, well, let's just say it gets a little surreal.
Yeah, this one really makes you think about what we consider proof in court, you know? Like, can a dream, an actual dream, be used as evidence in a personal injury case? And on top of that, we'll be digging into the whole expert witness thing. How do they help connect the dots between, like, an accident and the injuries, especially when it's a messy situation with multiple events? It's more common than you think.
Absolutely. And for all our listeners out there, especially those of you knee-deep in law school, this case is like a masterclass in legal principles. We're talking rules of evidence, specifically personal knowledge, that whole concept, plus the absolute must-have of expert testimony in some cases. You'll see how the nitty-gritty, the procedural stuff, that totally changed the game, even with a crazy story like this.
All right, we're going to break it down, starting with what actually went down, the accident itself. Then we'll walk through the initial ruling, the trial court's decision, and then really analyze what the appeals court said and why. By the time we're done, you'll have a clear picture of the legal principles that are driving this whole thing.
So paint a picture. What happened in Ladd v. Bowers Trucking? What are we dealing with here?
Okay, so picture this. August 10th, 2003, I-80. Our guy, Christopher Ladd, he's a passenger in a pickup truck. Things go south, the truck rolls over. Ends up in a bad spot, partway in the traffic lane, partway on the median.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It was. Some good Samaritan stopped to help the driver who's hurt, but then, boom, another vehicle hits the overturned truck. And to make things worse, just a bit later, a semi-truck, driven by Tyrone A. Granlund, he worked for Bowers Trucking, slams into the pickup. The impact, it was devastating. The pickup driver and Granlund both gone. Christopher Ladd, he's left with these horrific injuries, severe brain trauma, memory loss, the whole nine yards.
Wow, just awful. And this is where things take a turn for the bizarre, right? It's all about how Mr. Ladd remembers, or thinks he remembers, what happened.
You got it. Months after this whole ordeal, Mr. Ladd says he had this vivid dream. He basically relived the accident, but here's the kicker. In his dream, he gets himself out of the wrecked pickup after it rolled. Then, almost as soon as he's on his feet, the semi-truck hits him.
Hold on, didn't the eyewitnesses, the folks who saw the aftermath of the rollover, say something different?
That's the problem. They all agreed. They said Mr. Ladd was thrown from the truck during the rollover, and he stayed in the median until the paramedics got there. Nobody saw him climb out of the truck and get hit by the semi.
So this dream, this is the linchpin of his case, his testimony. This gets weird, legally speaking. Can something you experience in a dream, months later, contradicting what everyone else saw, can that actually fly in court? In a personal injury case, no less. It's mind-boggling.
Totally mind-boggling. It throws this huge question at the court. Can a dream, this totally subjective thing in your head, can it count as personal knowledge under the rules of evidence? That's the first legal hurdle we're talking about.
So down at the trial level, what happened? What was the initial decision?
The trial court went with what's called summary judgment, and they sided with Bowers Trucking. Think of summary judgment as a shortcut. The court says, look, there's nothing big to argue about here, no major facts in dispute that need a jury to figure out. They had two reasons for this. First, they said Mr. Ladd's dream testimony was a no-go, not admissible as evidence. And second, they pointed out he hadn't lined up any expert witnesses to say, hey, this specific injury was caused by this specific collision.
So no trial. Mr. Ladd takes us up to the Utah Court of Appeals. What were his arguments? What was he trying to prove?
Okay, so he basically had three main points. First, he said, hold up, my dream testimony does create a genuine issue of material fact. Basically, a real disagreement about something important that could change the outcome. It's about how that final collision happened and if I was involved in a specific way. Second, he argued the trial court got it wrong. They didn't weigh the evidence right when they tossed out his dream account. And third, he said, expert testimony. Not needed here. I can prove the link between negligence and my injuries without it.
Okay, let's unpack that first argument, the dream testimony. What rule of evidence are we talking about here?
The big one here is Utah Rule of Evidence 602, the personal knowledge rule. Basically, it says you can only testify about something if there's good reason to believe you actually know about it firsthand. In plain English, you had to be there, see it, hear it, experience it with your senses when it went down.
So how did the court apply that rule to Mr. Ladd's dream? Did they buy it?
Nope, not at all. They were very clear about it. They said, look, Mr. Ladd, your dream might feel real, but it's not based on what you actually saw on that highway. It's a mental thing that happened way later, months after the accident, when he had zero memory of what happened right after the truck rolled. They even called it, get this, gossamer threads of whimsy. Although listeners remember this, in court, Personal knowledge means what you sensed, what you experienced in the moment, not what your brain cooks up later, even if it's a crazy vivid dream.
Customer threads of whimsy? That's got to sting.
Yeah, they didn't pull any punches. They emphasized that even if he did see what happened at first, his amnesia after the fact meant the dream wasn't a reliable replay of what he saw. It's a new creation in his mind, not a flashback to something he actually sensed.
I remember reading about the dissenting judge, Justice Thorne. He had a different take on the dream thing, right? Something about memory jogging.
You're right. Justice Thorne, in his dissent, said, hold on, maybe the dream helped Mr. Ladd remember, like a memory refresh. This falls under Rule 612, which is all about using something to help a witness remember. The idea is that an object, a document, a photo, or even a dream, according to Thorne, could spark a real memory that was blocked before. Think of it like you forget a name, but seeing an old picture suddenly brings it back.
So why didn't the majority of the court buy that argument? Why wasn't the dream considered a helpful memory jogger?
They made a distinction between typical memory aids, things like notes or pictures, which usually tie into reality or were created close to the event, and then you have dreams. Dreams are subjective, often not reliable. They said dreams just aren't solid enough to bring back real memories in court. They need to be trustworthy. Because the dream wasn't allowed as evidence, it couldn't create that genuine issue of material fact about what went down after the rollover.
Okay, that explains the dream debacle. Now, the second big issue. Expert testimony to prove what caused Mr. Ladd's injuries. What's the deal with that? Why was it so important here?
It all boils down to how Utah law works when you're trying to prove causation in a negligence case, especially when you have obscure medical factors, which means stuff that a regular person wouldn't understand medical-wise. You usually need an expert, a doctor, to testify and connect the defendant's negligence to the actual injuries. This case highlights a crucial point. If the how and why of an injury aren't obvious to anyone, you almost always need an expert to explain it in court.
So in Mr. Ladd's case, how did that standard play out? What were his injuries? And why did he need an expert?
He was seriously injured. 6 brain contusions, to be exact. And remember, we had 3 separate collisions. The truck rolling, the second vehicle hitting it, and then that big impact with the semi. So the question is, which collision caused which injury? The court said figuring that out, especially with brain contusions across multiple crashes, is way beyond what a normal person would know. It's complex stuff. You need a medical expert to analyze the forces involved in each crash and explain how forces could cause those specific brain injuries.
So even though it seems obvious he is badly hurt in all this chaos, proving which specific brain injury came from which crash that needed a doctor to explain it?
Exactly. The court made it clear. Some injuries, like a broken leg from a direct hit, those are straightforward. But brain injuries, they're not that simple. The brain is complicated, and multiple impacts can cause different types of damage in different areas. So you need an expert to figure that out. Otherwise, it's just guesswork.
And what happened, because Mr. Ladd didn't have that expert testimony, what was the consequence of not having a doctor to back up his claims?
It was a big problem. Because he didn't have any expert witnesses to analyze his brain injuries and tie them to the specific collisions, he couldn't prove that the semi-truck driver's negligence caused those injuries. Without that expert, it's just a claim, not solid proof. This missing expert testimony was another major reason why the appeals court agreed with the trial court's summary judgment. You can't just say, hey, the defendant caused an accident and I'm hurt. You need evidence, admissible evidence. And in these kinds of cases, that usually means an expert to explain the link between the accident and the specific medical problem.
So it's not just about being injured. You have to prove how that injury happened because of what the defendant did, especially when it's medical and complicated.
You got it. The law wants a clear line between the action and the injury, the causation. And when it's medical and not obvious, you need an expert to draw that line to make it clear.
Let's talk about the different opinions in the appeals court. The majority of the judges thought one way, and then you had Justice Thorne's dissent. He seemed to disagree with them on some key points.
Yeah, he did. Remember how we talked about Mr. Ladd's dream? Well, Justice Thorne thought it should have been considered as possibly helping his memory. He thought the jury should have a chance to decide if the dream was credible or not. He was arguing for a bit more flexibility with evidence, suggesting that in cases with trauma and memory loss, the court should be open to letting the jury consider unusual things, even dreams, as part of the story.
And what about expert testimony? What did Justice Thorne think about that requirement?
He agreed with the general rule that you need an expert for complex medical stuff. However, he thought that some of Mr. Ladd's injuries, the ones that appeared or got worse, specifically after that final crash with the semi, those might have been obvious enough without needing a doctor to explain it. His logic was, if an injury shows up only after that last impact, maybe the jury can figure out the connection using common sense without a medical expert breaking down the physics of it.
So the main difference seems to be how strictly to apply the rules. Should the court stick to the rules no matter what, or should they give the jury more leeway to consider everything, even unusual stuff, and let them make logical conclusions about cause and effect?
That's a really good way to put it. The majority wanted a strict interpretation of the rules of evidence and the usual requirement for expert testimony. Justice Thorne, he was more focused on finding the facts, suggesting that the jury should have a bigger role in deciding if unusual memories are believable, and that demanding expert testimony for every single part of a complex injury might be overkill sometimes.
It's like a tug of war between being fair by following the rules and making sure the injured person's whole story is heard, even if it's messy or unconventional.
Exactly. And for our listeners who are future lawyers, this back and forth between a majority and the dissent is really important. It shows that law isn't always black and white. You can have strong arguments on both sides of an issue, and it often comes down to different philosophies about what courts and juries should do.
All right, let's wrap this up. What are the big takeaways from Lagie Bowers Trucking? What should law students really remember about this case?
A few things. First, and this is huge, stick to the rules of evidence. No matter how much you believe something, speculation is not allowed as evidence in court. Majority saw Mr. Ladd's dream as pure speculation. Second, you need expert witnesses in cases with complex medical issues, especially when you're trying to prove causation, like when multiple things could have caused the injuries. You can't just rely on the order of events. You often need an expert to draw a clear line between what the defendant did and the specific harm caused. Third, messing up the procedure can kill your case. Even if you think your facts are strong, if you don't follow the right steps, like getting the right expert witnesses, your client might lose. And lastly, the disagreement between the majority and the dissenting judge is a great lesson. It shows that judges can look at the law in different ways, some are stricter than others. Understanding these different viewpoints is crucial for navigating the legal system, which can be pretty complex.
So the dream didn't work as proof, and not having expert testimony was a fatal flaw. It's a powerful reminder that in the legal system, you need the right kind of evidence and you have to play by the rules.
Absolutely. Lagie Bowers Trucking shows us that even though trauma and memory can be very complicated from a human perspective, the legal system wants a specific kind of proof. Evidence that's based on what you directly experienced, and in many cases, the opinion of a qualified expert, you need that to prove someone is legally liable for an injury.
Well, that was a deep dive into a fascinating and, I'll say it, a somewhat dreamlike case. It makes you think about memory, evidence, and how crucial expert witnesses are in personal injury cases. A final thought for you to chew on. How should the law balance the need for solid evidence with the possibility of real, but maybe unusual, memories, especially when someone's been through trauma and has memory problems? It's a tough question that goes beyond what happened in this case.
For sure. And in our next deep dive, we're switching gears. We'll be exploring the Dalbert standards and how they apply to new scientific evidence. It's another important piece of the puzzle when it comes to what's allowed as evidence in court. Hope you'll join us for that one.